Well, we were named by an organization that actually put us together as a group. The four original members won the Sphinx organization, rather the Sphinx competition. And I said Sphinx organization because they are also an organization in addition to being a national competition. So this organization, it has a mission of promoting classical music, specifically string instruments, within minorities, because they realize that only 3% of all major or minor orchestras in America are minorities, which is a very strange statistic, but it happens to be true. So they put together this effort to promote classical music in places where usually it wasn't heard. And in order to achieve that, they created our group, which consists of four first prize winners. And we had an office in Harlem. And 8 years ago when we started, we did a lot of school visits. We basically play in every single elementary school in Harlem. And that's why we got our name. And we're very, very proud of our beginnings.
In addition to being minorities yourselves, I understand that you're also committed to playing compositions by minority composers as well.
Yes, yes. And that actually leads to the topic of jazz. During those school visits, we realized that it was very hard to keep the kids' attention with standard rep that we were used to, with Mozart, with Mendelssohn. It's beautiful to us, but for somebody that is not used to listening to that, it gets boring very quick, believe it or not. So pretty soon we understood that we had to make our school presentations more audience friendly. And one thing that really helped is between our classical rep, it was to add some jazz standards that although they might not be familiar per se, the tone of the music and the pop elements that the jazz music offers made it way more accessible to them. So we ended up incorporating jazz rep to our regular rep, and it ended up paying back to us because today is one of our signature, if you will, as a quartet. The fact that we can do both at a pretty high level, if I might say, and again, it's all we owe all of it to trying to be accessible to these kids I refer to in Harlem.
Well, before you chose to make that addition of jazz music to your repertoire, how much experience did you and the other members of the quartet have playing jazz?
Well, we had none when we started. I, in particular, was a bit of a jazz aficionado. My brother is quite an accomplished jazz pianist, and being a native of Cuba, I had the Cuban rhythms and the Afro-Cuban jazz language a little bit in my ear, a little bit more than the rest, but nothing like a jazz expert or like an improviser or anything like that. But it actually helped having the background and the language in the ear, because when we started performing jazz, other good jazz players, renowned jazz players, noticed that we had the right swing, the right style, if I can put it in words. It attracted the attention of really legendary people like Wynton Marsalis, like Chick Corea. In fact, we just finished a one-year-long tour with Chick Corea, and we recorded an album with him that ended up getting a Grammy. Again, not because we were jazz experts or anything, but because we had perhaps the right approach to playing jazz, this was possible.
One thing I've always wanted to ask musicians who play different styles of music and sometimes radically different styles of music is, do you have to approach your instrument differently? Do you have a different mindset? Do you have a different way in which you move your arms and your fingers when you're playing classical music as you are compared to jazz?
That's an excellent question, and it's a bit of a technical question, but I think I can answer. Yes, the answer is yes. When we play classical music, we are 100% subservient to the score, so we don't deviate of the notation that's written or the dynamics that the composers very specifically wrote. When we play jazz, we look at the score and we see an opportunity to improvise. And so the mentality is it's a little freer that way. But I might say something. Playing jazz fits into our way of seeing the score when we see a classical score. Not in a sense that we allow ourselves to change a note or a dynamic, but in a sense that we see the composer as an improviser that just organized the ideas at a very high level, very meticulously. But only after you improvise yourself, you understand that the creative process of Beethoven and Winter Marsalis is similar. Only in a sense that they both envision the music and then put it down in the paper, or in the case of Winton, then just blows in the trumpet the music that he sees. But I don't know if I'm getting stuck with words, but what I'm trying to say is that being able to improvise makes us see the music with a lot more creativity in mind, like way more fresh than before we start playing jazz. The composer put down one version of many other possible versions that he could have done, and you can only feel that when you're on the spot trying to improvise, and this time it comes out this way, this time it comes out the other way, and you see then that the composers were just human people, not like most of us turn them into some sort of ancient gods that are untouchable. I don't know if this makes any sense, but that's how I feel.
It absolutely does make sense. In reading your biography on the quartet's website, you've worked with an amazing array of musicians, both in the world of classical music and jazz. Can you name some that have come to mind who've made a particular impact on the way that you play?
We had an incredible opportunity to perform and coach with Itzhak Perlman. And the reason why I said incredible, besides that, the fact that Perlman is an icon, a classical icon, is because he was able to share a combination of respect for the music, as well as a freshness and a passion that often when you are so good like Zach Perlman, it turns a little bit, I don't know how to put it, academic. And in his case, everything that came out of his mouth was very inspiring and very fresh. And we found that to be the case with a jazz legend, Chick Corea. I kept asking Chick, would you coach me? Would you help me with this passage? And he's like, no, think for yourself. I don't want you to sound like me or to think like me. You can do it. Just do it yourself. So these two people with absolutely different backgrounds had a common denominator, which is just leave the music inside before it comes out, and just don't just simply play what's written without digesting it at an emotional or a visceral level, if you will.
Well, how do you see, after performing together for about 8 years now, how well do you feel you're accomplishing your goal? Are you seeing more minorities becoming interested in string quartets, in jazz, in classical music?
You know, I do think that there is some better numbers, especially in schools. I don't know if the numbers are reflected already in the professional life in orchestras. Perhaps it's too soon for that, but you definitely see more minorities at least taking music as a choice, like in colleges and so yeah, I think you know, as they say, a grain of sand is being added to a vast desert. Yep.
Well, I hope that by your appearance here at Arkansas State University, you can inspire many other young people, if not to pick up the instrument, but to have a greater appreciation for the music that you perform.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. And I just want to say that it's not a question of minorities only. The more we travel, we really see with our own eyes. It's a question of exposure. There's many states we've played in almost all 50, and there's many states where... There's a lot of kids that never heard string quartet, and definitely a lot of misconception that string quartet is for the third age, and it's boring. And so our vision, it grew out of, it started to promote within minorities. But the more we live and the more we travel, we realize that it's bigger than that. It's a generational thing. And we're happy to see more and more young people feeling more identified with this type of music.